Thank you, Father. You know, we've spent a couple of years taking this mountain, but we just cleared a place big enough for Jesus' feet, and he just took it.
It's bigger than the city.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We are continuing on with spiritual gateways. In the last session, we dealt with how the commandments of God position us to flow in the kingdom correctly, as well as when we obey the commandments, that we begin closing doors to the devil and we start opening up doors to God. And I think one of the things that that answers a lot of questions for me is that we see a lot of Christians that the devil's tearing apart their lives. At the same time they talk about having victory in Jesus, their lives are falling apart, and their lives are falling apart because they're by our traditions. Jesus said the traditions of men make void the Word of God, make the Word of God of none effect. That if I put my traditions over the Word of God, I'm saying I know which doors to open up in my life and which ones to close, and I know better than God. And a lot of times I think that we are systematically opening up the doors to the devil, because how many know the ways of the world are not the ways of God? This last week I sent out an email detailing about Halloween, and I got a lot of good responses, but I also got a lot of responses I wasn't expecting from ministers of God. You would have thought I would have touched the Holy Grail, and I would have, you know, said something about, well, I don't believe in the virgin birth, or I don't believe in this. I mean, it was like I was committing sacrilege. And that just shows you just how kind of far we have gotten off track about where we are. How many know that this is God's Word? We need to understand that men and women died to put this into our hands. Do you know what? There was a time in history that the Catholic Church made it illegal for anyone but a priest to have the Word of God, and that they would kill you over it. In fact, Wycliffe, one of the first ones who translated it from the Greek and the Hebrew to English instead of Latin, to English, to where the average person could read it. He was luckily protected because the guy that was in charge of Germany was actually wanting to be the next pope, and when they did make him the next pope, that situation created a haven for Luther and many of the reformers to stay there. And so he translated, Wycliffe translated the first Bible into English so that the common person could read. The Catholic Church so hated him that when he died of old age, they infiltrated, went in and took his bones, and they tried his bones as a heretic and then burnt his bones at the stake. That when the Gutenberg press finally began to crank Bibles off, they were still rare. The very first Bibles, guys, had backs of iron. They were chained to the wall so that people couldn't steal them, and people would wait 2 or 3 days in line to have a right to be able to read maybe 1 or 2 pages from the Word of God. That's what we so casually carry around in our laps. This is the inerrant, infallible Word of God. It is God-breathed. God saw to it in His sovereignty that both the Old and New Testaments were preserved. Now, let me tell you something. Jewish people did a real good job of preserving the Old Testament, but if you want to see the sovereignty of God, see how haphazard as Gentiles handled what He began to articulate in the New Testament, and it was a miracle of God that we have it. There should be at least 1st, 2nd, and 3rd, and maybe 4th Corinthians. But we only, God in His sovereignty, kept the first letter and the third letter. Why? Because God said, these were anointed and these are going to be kept. The first council that met on the canonization of the New Testament, James got in by one vote. And they think the one vote was some guy sitting on the council. The only vote that counted was Almighty God said, James is getting in the book because of His sovereignty. And so when we approach this Word, either this is the rule of my life, this is the highway to heaven, guys. This is how to get there. And this is not only how to get there, but this is how to bring some of there here. And if I will learn how to bring some of there here, guys, you don't understand. One of my mentors, Doyle Varville, I thought said it so eloquently. He said, everybody's going to experience hell. Everybody. Either you can have your hell now and heaven later, or you can have your heaven now and hell later. But the bad news is, if this is your heaven, this is as good as it gets. Amen. This is good as it's going to get, the way the devil has it right now. This is good as it's going to get. But God says, I got one up on that. If you'll learn to walk in my ways, I'm going to give you some of your later now, that it will be as the days of heaven upon the earth. Jesus said, I've come to bring the kingdom. I've come that you might have life and that you might have it abundantly. And I don't know about you, but I want some of that abundantly. This morning, we are continuing on with part five, and I want to deal with the power of words. We've dealt with the power of thought. We have dealt with our thought life and how that I have an anointing by the Holy Spirit to control my thought life. Not only do I have a right to control it, but I have a right to what I hear and to what I see. To the consternation of a lot of people trying to push their dogma on an unsuspecting world, I found out that there was something surprising that was attached to my TV set. Called an off switch. You have a right to turn it off. And if enough people turn it off, advertisers won't pay for it. Come on now. What a mighty revelation. I have the right to choose the books that I read. I have a right and a responsibility. Because what you read today is what you become tomorrow. What you listen to today is what you listen to tomorrow. You see, we have forgotten in this generation what one generation tolerates, the next one embraces. That's how you creep in the darkness. If we tolerate it, then the next one, well, if they tolerate it, you know, it must be okay. And let me know that right now the United States is a quick slide into darkness. And I think today is going to be a key for us to do our part to reverse the curse. If you have your Bibles, let's go to Genesis chapter 1. And I want to start with verse 1. Let me know that goes all the way back to the beginning, and I can't go any further unless I get into the preface that somebody wrote to the Word of God. But as I begin to do this, and I was going to deal with words, the Spirit of God kind of took over my studies this morning. And I love when He does that, because I think I'm going to go this way. And He says, did you ever notice this? And then you have one of those aha moments. I had an aha moment this morning. Now, it says here, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, let there be light, and there was light, and God saw the light, and that it was good. How many know that God only saw that the light was good? Okay, and God divided the light from the darkness. He divided the good from the bad. Now, when you read this in the English, we don't really get the conveyance that there is a time gap between Genesis 1:1 and 1:2. The word there was when, and the world and the earth was without form. That word in the Hebrew was is hayah, which means to become, to come to pass, to happen, to fall out, to occur. And so in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth became, something happened to the earth that it became void. How many know that when God creates something, He doesn't create it void? He doesn't create it full of darkness. He doesn't create it full of chaos. When God creates something, it's always perfect. So something happened to God's creation that happened, and what's interesting, it doesn't even say the heavens. It happened specifically to the earth that caused the earth to be void. Now, that word void there, to who in the Hebrew means to be formless, confusion, unreality, emptiness, nothingness. So the Hindu would probably say, well, right there it was perfect because I want to get to nirvana, which is what? Absolute non-existence, emptiness. That's what they're headed for. I mean, oh, I'm headed for something a little bit better than that. Where I'm headed for isn't nothingness. It has streets of gold. It's full of joy. It's full of life. but something happened that caused the earth to be full of confusion, to be full of emptiness, to become a wasteland, a wilderness, a solitary place, a place of chaos. And if you want to just make sure that I'm actually giving you the right stuff, that is Strong's number in the Hebrew, 8414. Don't believe me, look her up, all right? I mean, it's right there. Now, in 1 Corinthians 14:33, we have, "For God is not the author of confusion." The earth became confusion. God is not the author of confusion. So how many know that something, there had to be something that happened? And I think the something that happened there was the fall of Lucifer. That with that, it corrupted the earth. That earth has the propensity to be corrupted by darkness if you allow it. And so it happened that darkness had corrupted the earth, yet the Spirit of God was hovering over that dark, corrupted earth, waiting for God to speak. Did you know that's salvation? In your sinfulness, when you were corrupted by the chaos and the confusion of the enemy, that you were without God in the earth, the Holy Spirit was hovering over you, waiting for the Word of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ, to be spoken to you. And once it was received by that earth, the Holy Spirit could go into operation and to bring light. It's all about patterns. Is it going to be patterned after darkness, or is it going to be patterned after light? Is it going to be patterned after the image of darkness, or is it going to be patterned after the image of light? And so, oh, I need to put that right back down here. I've got ahead of myself in my own notes. That's okay. Now let's jump over to Genesis 1:26. Then God said, "Let us make man in a real cool image. Our image." God made man in His image according to our likeness, and let them have dominion. Now, man, God reached down into this earth that was chaos, that He brought out of chaos into perfection. And out of that, He made Himself a man and breathed into that man His own image. The same earth that had the Holy Spirit hovering over it, that received the word, "Let there be light," that same God took that earth and molded it into a man and breathed His same Spirit into that earth, and He became a living soul. But one of the things that we need to understand, that this is why, do you ever wonder why when Jesus said, after He accomplished salvation, He said, "I've been given all authority in heaven and earth, now you go"? Why was He able to say that to them men? When you put all four Gospels together, you know that something transpired before He did that. The Bible says in the book of John that He breathed on them and said, receive life. When the image of God is on the inside of you, you can move in dominion. Or let me take another step. What's in you can speak through you. And when the image of God was in man, man could take authority, and when He spoke, the Holy Spirit was always there to bring it to pass. And so the only way the devil could win, he had to do to that which was made of earth what he had first done to earth. He had to corrupt the image. And we find in the garden that Satan, by giving them the fruit of the forbidden tree, he corrupted the image. And just like in Genesis, between Genesis 1 and 1:2, the earth became confusion because man had become confusion. See, part of the problem, I think, with a lot of those that get into understanding the power of words is they never begin dealing with the image on the inside of them so that the right power is flowing with the words. You can always talk about a positive confession, but if the positive one, if light is not in you, you can have darkness speaking positive things through you. Because our destiny, turn to your neighbor and say, I have a destiny. My wife has a destiny besides being a good cook and good looking. She has a destiny. Would you like to find out what that destiny is? All of us share the exact same destiny. Let's go to Romans 8. Romans 8, starting with verse 28. In fact, 28 people read all the time, but they never read beyond that, so you can never connect it to how come all things can work together for good for those who love God and are called according to His purpose. I see people going through all kinds of garbage, and they try to claim this verse, not knowing that that may not be the purpose in their life, that may not be the reality in their life. We need to understand that the system of Babylon is unreality. The darkness the devil does, that Hebrew word means unreality. It's not the way that God meant it. If it isn't the way that God meant it, it's not divine reality. It is an illusion. It is a corruption of that which should be. And so now we're seeing that Jesus is doing something. And it says, for we know that all things work together for good for those who love God and are called according to His purpose. For whom He foreknew, He also predestinated to be conformed into the image of His Son. You are predestined on the inside of you to be conformed into the image of Jesus, because until that image of Jesus is formed, you cannot speak and take dominion the way that you're supposed to. It is out of the image on the inside of you that you're supposed to speak. And so many Christians, they go around controlling what they speak, but they never begin working on the image inside of them, which is their destiny. Your destiny is to regain what you lost in the garden. Satan showed up. He corrupted this planet, brought chaos to it. God fixed it. God made a man out of the earth, and I said, now I want you to guard over this thing. And so he comes to the very earth he corrupted once before, and he corrupts it again. And now Satan, or man, is now formed in the image of Satan. That's why Jesus was able to tell the leaders of his time, you're just like your daddy, the devil, because you look just like him. Haven't you ever heard somebody tell your son, boy, you just look like your daddy? That's the way it's supposed to be. Just look just like your daddy. You see, if the Father's image is impressed in me, I can exercise His authority in the earth. If the image of Jesus is stamped in me, we look for a signet ring. Back in the Old Testament, they would have signet rings that represented the family. That was their authority. You do not get a ring when you get saved. You do not get a signet ring with a family crest when you get saved. That has got to be stamped on the inside of your heart. And when that is stamped on the inside of your heart, you can move in authority. God is not going to entrust power where His image is not stamped. The whole purpose of what we're trying to move toward, I cannot see anything on the outside of me change until that which is on the inside of me changes. That I have been predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren, that we all look like our daddy. He wants us all to look like our Heavenly Father. He wants us all to have a family resemblance of the family of God. Moreover, you see, if I let Him start hammering on me, if I let the Holy Spirit start remolding me, isn't He the potter and I'm the clay? Doesn't he sometimes take me through the fire? That Almighty God, he is that refiner, and he wants to get the gold, so he's got to get the junk out, he's got to get the corrupt stuff out, so that which is really of him can remain and flow. Now he says, listen, you have been predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the first among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. What did he call you to be? Conformed into the image of Jesus. So many Christians are worrying about what they're called to do. If you don't get the image of Jesus down, you ain't going to get nothing else, honey. I don't care what title they give you. I don't care who set you off in ministry and who ordained you or anything else. We have a lot of marred people trying to move in authority, but the image on the inside of them is wrong. We get so caught up with the outside, heaven gets caught up with the inside. Because it's what's in the inside that speaks. It says, those that he called, these also he justified. And whom he justified, these also he glorified. When our being and our words are conformed into the image of Jesus, the world around us begins to be conformed to the kingdom of God. That one you need to write down if you're taking any notes. When our being and our words are conformed into the image of Jesus, the world around us begins to be conformed to the kingdom of God. That's an explanation to me why some people try to use the name of Jesus when they have the image of the devil they're trying to cast out stamped on the inside of them, and it doesn't work. The greater the image of Jesus is on the inside of you, the more powerfully the power of the kingdom can move through you. Now, let's jump over to Proverbs chapter 18, verses 20 and 21. How many know the devil has a world full of his soothsayers out there speaking what he wants? But see, you expect them to speak what he wants. What he revels in is somebody who says they accepted Jesus, and yet Satan continues to speak through them. That rubs it in the face of God. They say you're their kid, but my image is still stamped on the inside of them. A man's stomach shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth. From the produce of his lips he shall be filled. Life, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. The devil and Jesus are in the power of the tongue. John 10:10, the thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill and destroy. How many know that's death? But Jesus says, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Man's lips are able to release both death and life based upon who is stamped on the inside of his heart. Guys, we need to understand, we need to be aware of who's speaking through you. One of the songs we sang today is Come Breathe in Me. Come live in me. Come breathe in me. Come live in me. All my life take over. Come breathe in me and I will soar on eagle's wings. I think we need to change that to come breathe in me and I will loose your authority and your kingdom and your power in the earth if you will come and breathe through me. We have too many believers who have sulfur breath because hell is breathing through them. They say they accept Jesus, but yet hell is breathing through them because they don't know the dynamics of the kingdom. If you find out what your number one goal in life is, to be conformed into the image of Jesus, just maybe you ought to put a little bit of energy into it. And being conformed into the image of Jesus is more than just going to church a couple times a week. You get up in the morning and you say anything that doesn't line up with Jesus, I take authority and I crucify right now in the name of Jesus. I cast this thing from me. I'm not going to be that way. I may have used to be that way, but that's the old man. And I'm not going to let the old man rise up on the inside of me because he's supposed to be crucified. He is supposed to be crucified with Christ. Never let I live, yet not I. It is now Christ living in me. That new man is in the image of Jesus. And when I allow him to move and breathe in my life, the kingdom of God begin to flow. I start loosing life out of my lips and not death. That takes it to a whole nother level than just having a positive confession. I remember there's one group called the Christian Scientists that don't ever let Jesus, their doctrine don't allow Jesus in to do anything. It's just all we create our reality with our words. Well, how many know that, you know, if you don't have the Holy One within you, all your words are going to be death anyway. And this one boy, the neighbor asks and says, "How's your dad doing?" "Well, he thinks he's got pneumonia." "Oh, okay. Well, we'll be praying for him if anything we do." And then a couple of weeks later, "How's your son doing?" "He thinks he's dead now." Because they think everything's about thinking. This positive confession, this positive thinking, that's going to change everything. If you're filled with darkness, if the image of God is not stamped on the inside of you, you can think all the right things and say all the right things, but it's still breathing sulfur. That's why God could say with their lips, they're following me, but their hearts are far from me. They're saying all the right things, but man, their heart's over here in darkness. Their heart is still conforming to the world became void and it was corrupt and full of chaos. And God is not the author of confusion. He is the author of order. And let me tell you something else. One of the reasons why that we have theologians that come against the commandments of God is because in their hearts, they still love chaos. Because God's laws bring about divine order. And if there's something on the inside of you fighting with that order, the only thing that can be doing that is chaos. The devil loves anarchy. Guys, we need to understand that when the image of Jesus is found within us, He can speak through us and begin to establish the kingdom around us. We need to be like the centurion and say, "Lord, speak the word only." But we never realized it's your lips He wants to use. If you have ever been flowing in spiritual things, you can be praying and all of a sudden it's just like an anointing begins to line up and it has all of a sudden your words take on new power and you can tell they're beginning to affect things in the spirit realm and even in the physical when you do that. It's because you've prayed through to the place where the image of Jesus is beginning to be released there and out of His image in you, He begins to speak. We may call it a prophetic anointing. We may call it an unction of the Holy Spirit, but we've gotten to the place where we've lined up enough with heaven in that situation that Jesus is able to speak, and Jesus has never spoken anywhere in the New Testament, and it didn't come to pass. That's that unction that we many times sense as a believer. Now, how important are not only our words, but the image on the inside of us that produces the words? Let's go to Matthew chapter 12. Preaching's kind of handy because you can go through the material a whole lot quicker. You can take an hour and preach it in 30 minutes. You know that? Especially when there's chili waiting on you in there after we finish up. Preach today, brother. Matthew chapter 12, starting with verse 33. Either make the good tree and its good fruit, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For a tree is known by its fruit. Now, in the context of what we're saying here, either be good on the inside or bad on the inside. Either have the stamp of the devil or the stamp of Jesus. Commit yourself to one. Don't be two-faced. Boy, doesn't that take that to a whole new level? Don't be two-faced. Don't have half of the day have the image of the devil projecting through you, and the other half of the day having the image of Jesus. How many know that? That's problems. That is being the double-minded man, because then you're unstable in all your ways. You know, you begin establishing something, and then as soon as you start to get it established, you're the one that blows it out of the water. And then you got to spend the other half of the day fixing what you just destroyed. How many know if you do that long enough, you'll make no progress? Just like a lot of believers' lives. Well, let's just think about that for a minute, okay? He said, now, good tree, because a tree doesn't produce its fruit by what's on the limbs. The tree produces the fruit by the sap and everything that runs through it, that comes from the inside out. It's what it draws from its roots. And Paul says that we have been grafted into the tree, and our roots is Israel. Our roots go all the way back to the Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Begin drawing from that. Then he turns to all the religious leaders and says, broods of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. You see, what we have failed to realize is just like when I begin to allow Jesus to speak through me and their spiritual power in it, when I begin to allow the old Adam, the old image, the old man speak through me, that satanic power can flow through it. We got too many saints with dragon breath. Jesus said the way it's supposed to be is you're not trying to be duplicitous. Just decide which one you're going to be and be it. Are you a believer in Jesus? Then commit yourself to being a believer in Jesus. Are you going to walk in light? Commit yourself to walking in light so that all of you can line up with the kingdom so that your words can matter for the kingdom. Guys, I can tell sometimes when I'm flowing in God the way that I'm supposed to, I can walk into Walmart and just tell somebody hello, you know, just to kind of be nice and friendly to them, and you could tell you just brightened them up. And how many know some people can darken a room by entering into it and by speaking? But notice the verse 35, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth good fruit, and an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil fruit. Okay, so what I'm going to do is I'm not going to let either side speak through me. But I say to you that for every idle word, every neutral word, every word not flowing in one power or the other, that word idle in the Greek is argos, which means free from labor, at leisure, lazy, shunning the labor which one ought to perform. That our words are supposed to have power. If I'm created in the image of God, when God speaks, things are supposed to happen. I am created in His image. When I let that image begin to flourish in me, that I can tell somebody hello, and they actually feel like they're welcomed. They can feel the peace of God. Jesus instructed His disciples, when you go into somebody's house, you release the peace of God. Now if it comes running back and says, I don't want to be here, don't stay. But if the peace of God settles in on that house, it's okay to settle there. How many have tried to talk to people and it's just like they rejected your words? Don't waste your time. Don't waste your time. We're going to be judged for every word that power is not released through. Boy, that takes coarse jesting and just kind of throws it down the toilet, don't it? Or hem-hawing around about stuff. You know, anymore, anytime anybody asks me what I think, I'm no longer going to worry about hurting feelings. I'm going to worry about releasing power. May change a whole lot of conversations. Brother Mike, what do you think? But Oh. But I say that for every idle word men may speak, that they will give an account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you are justified, and by your words you're condemned. Now he takes it and he says, not only going to you be judged by every idle word, but if that word looses life, you're going to be justified. And if that word releases death, you're going to be condemned by the very things that you loosed out of your life. You can change the world with words. Has anybody ever seen a silent revolutionary that just kept to himself and changed the world? Jesus changed the world with words. They're written and read in your Bible. Every revolutionary, every leader that created a movement did it with words. So much so that we have the axiom that the pen or the word is mightier than the sword. Because your words can set on fire either heaven or hell in somebody's life. How many of us have been scarred by people's words? It may have happened 30, 40 years ago, and we have been scarred by those words. At the same time, how many of us have had people that spoke words to this day still resonate within you that were so true? I remember sixth grade teacher I had, Mrs. Williams. That woman will forever be etched in my mind, because one day she sat and looked at me and she said, back then I was called Kenny, "Kenny, you're made for better. You're better than this. You're made for better." Changed my perspective on everything. Not great speech, just words of love and concern. A few words can drown out an ocean of negativity. There are going to be three kinds of words that we're judged for: words of life, words of darkness, and idle words. Now, let's go to Mark 11. Now, this is after Jesus cursed the fig tree, and they kind of got blown away because the next day the fig tree was dried up. Now, can I dismiss a fallacy that you're going to find in some theological works? There are some commentators that say that fig tree represents Israel. Nowhere in the Word of God does the fig tree ever represent Israel. The olive tree does. You were grafted into the olive tree. You may have been a wild olive branch. Paul didn't say you was a wild fig branch. In fact, many rabbis and those that are sensitive or have an understanding of the Hebraic, what kind of leaves did Adam and Eve sew together when they found themselves to be naked after they sinned? Fig leaves. They reached for the leaves of the tree that they had just received knowledge from and began sewing it together. You see, man reached and he ate figs in the garden. He didn't eat that. I remember as a Baptist boy, everybody, "I'll bet it's an apple. I'll bet it's an apple." No, it was a fig. Because fig trees also represent the kingdom of darkness and the angels that fell, because God, it's either Jeremiah or Ezekiel, says to them that were in power. And we find the book of Revelation that Satan falls as lightning, that he's cast down. God says, "I'm going to cast you out of the heavens as figs off a tree." And so what Jesus was doing is he was cursing the power of darkness in the earth, commanding it to dry up. And he gave that as an example on how we're going to move forward. You can speak to evil and command it to dry up. So Jesus answered and said to them, "Have faith in God." Now, if you have a good reference Bible, a lot of times they'll give you an alternate translation. Even the Scofield Bible has an alternate translation here. It can be translated, have the faith of God. Since you're created in the image of God, have the faith of God. For assuredly I say unto you that whoever speaks to this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things which he says will be done, he will have whatever he, what? Says. Therefore I say unto you that whatever things that you pray, that you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. Now in the context of realizing what the fig tree was, the mountain of darkness will be removed at the image of God speaking through you. That Jesus cursed their power once, and he is waiting for his people to curse their power again to dry it up within a community. So here is our conundrum. If I'm speaking out of darkness, I'm building the mountain. If I'm speaking out of Jesus, I'm tearing it down. Whose construction crew are you on? Eli said, I didn't have to think about that for a minute. Jesus. Amen. I am on Jesus' construction crew. How important are how important do we need to take the words that we speak? Let's go to James chapter 1, verse, and we're going to end in James, so just go ahead and flip over to James. James chapter 1, verse 17. Now, James is a very powerful character in the New Testament. He's the half-brother of Jesus. That means he was raised in the household with Jesus, and actually his name wasn't James, it was Jacob. His name was changed to honor King James, who commissioned the King James Bible. So this is actually the book of Jacob, or Yaakov. Okay? You know, it's a bad... Wouldn't you hate it if 1,000 years from now you worked hard to make a good name in the earth, and then somebody renames you after a poop head? Just so that they can have some significance. Because King James was a Mason. And there's even some speculation as to the level of influence that maybe Sir Francis Bacon had with the formulation of the King James Bible. Just kind of throwing that out there. I know that's some people's holy grail. But every reasonable statement of faith says that the Word of God is infallible in its original text. That's why we need to study to show ourselves approved. That being said, and rocking a few people's worlds that are going to listen to this, let's go on. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, from whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. So we're dealing about that image being stamped on us again, right? Now how does that image react? So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to share his opinion. Be swift to share a piece of his mind. Be swift to hear, slow to speak. Slow to wrath. In other words, you make darn sure who you're getting ready to speak for. Who's speaking through you? Who's breathing through you? When you get into a situation, be quick to hear not only what's being said, both sides of the argument, but hear from heaven before you speak. Because some people say they're moving in righteous indignation and they're moving in the fire of the flesh and calling it the Holy Spirit, and it is not. Because you have to look at the end results of what happened. Is there good fruit or was there chaos and mayhem loose by what they said? Because he goes on to say, for the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, what happened with the individual that was quick to speak and quick to wrath is he let the old man resurrect and jump off of that cross where he was supposed to crucify it, and it allowed him to lose hell into that situation. Because the Bible says that the tongue is a little member, yet it can set on fire the course of nature. There have literally been cities burned to the ground because of somebody's mouth. That what somebody said stirred the enemy within man's heart so that he brought chaos. You can always tell when God is really moving because there will be a harmony to it. There will be a life and a divine order to it that the devil cannot mimic. The only way that he can try to mimic the similitude of order is by oppression. And during times of oppression, everybody is afraid to speak. Because if they speak something other than the overlord's will, God can instantly begin to speak through them and begin to tear down darkness. So if you talk, I'll kill you. Guys, we're seeing that in America today. We had a liberal commentator, I kind of like the guy, Juan Williams, said one thing about, you know, looking back at 9/11, and when I travel, if I see someone in full Muslim garb, I pray for them. Lord, just make, you know, I figure instead of just being afraid of them, I pray for them. God, just hit them with your power. Just make Jesus' love known to them. Just let them feel the presence of God in this place. But just from a natural point, he says, well, you know, sometimes it makes me nervous. Now, he got fired for that, but there was a commentator on that same radio broadcast said, it would be a good thing for America if 4 million Christians were vaporized. What were the repercussions? Nothing. On the news this morning, it's causing a stir in New Jersey. A girl, you know, sometimes before you get married and stuff, if you're out going to college and everything, sometimes it helps to have a roommate. And you worry about what kind of roommate you're going to get. Amen? You don't want nobody that's related to Freddy Krueger moving in, okay? And so this girl's at church, and she says, I'm looking for a roommate. I really want a Christian roommate. Did you know that there's a court case over that because the government is saying that violates fair housing law and that she could be fined thousands of dollars? They're trying to twist a law that says as a renter, if I don't like a white person, I can't rent to them. If I don't like a black person, I can say, you know, no blacks allowed. I mean, no, that's illegal. It's stupidity in its utmost sense. But this is not me renting a space to them. This is saying, I want to live with this kind of person. Well, if they can say that, then they can assign to you who you're going to marry. Who has a right to live in your house? The government says, you don't have the right to decide. We'll decide. Why? Because if you get two believers, if two or more gather in my name, whatsoever they ask, dear Lord, we can't have that, the devil says. So we got to put Freddy in there with little Paulette. Can't have that. Now let's go on a little bit further. We need to be slow to speak in James 3 and 2. It says, for we all struggle in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect, in the Greek there, that is teleos. He is a complete, whole, or mature person. You may not get it all right, but if you learn to speak out of the image of Jesus on the inside of you, you have matured. And that's exactly what God is calling us to do. That he is wanting, look what it says. It says, he is perfect, also able to bridle their whole body. If I learn to let Jesus speak through me, that is the stepping stone to bringing divine order to every area of my life. Let that sink in. If I won't let darkness speak through me, I rob it of its power. I quit building mountains and I start tearing them down. There's a prophecy that talks about when Messiah comes that every mountain will be made low, every valley will be exalted, every crooked place made plain. In other words, it wants to be a level playing field. I think that we're looking at that when Jesus comes back, and I mean the earth's going to shift, there's going to be all kinds of crazy things, but I think through his body, he wants to get rid of the pits that people fall in or the mountains that face them, and he wants to make straight their path. And he says, I can do it if you let me speak through you. And so in this whole thing, if we begin thanking the ways of God, we can begin speaking the words of God. If you thank the ways of God and you speak the words of God, then God can breathe through those words. I mean, that last song we sang today needs to be our daily prayer. Come live in me. All my life take over. Don't let the devil have anything in me, Jesus. Come breathe in me. Because if you can breathe in me, you can breathe through me. No, you don't get that. God came to Adam and breathed in him. When the only time that you can ever exhale is what you inhale. Try emptying your lungs completely and then exhale. You can't do it. When I fill myself full of the presence of God, I can breathe his presence to all around me. Be careful what you breathe. Be careful what you allow in. Because God is wanting to release his power. He wants to bring more divine order. I'm going to prophesy something, kind of let you know we're going prophetically. If things don't turn around in this nation, the only place where there's going to be safety is where believers group together and God can speak through them to create a place of safety. That we live by his ways, we think by his ways, we speak by his ways, and we do his ways. We'll create safety. Many modern-day prophets have spoken about this. Henry Groover is one of them. If you ever just Google him, I mean, his life is fascinating. And he said he saw literally Russian troops coming in and Chinese troops coming into America to oppress it. And as they were coming with their tanks, you would have this little pocket of believers that were praying and walking with God. And the soldiers would separate. They would go around that space and then come back together and never knew they were separated. It's because light always separates out darkness. If we will learn to control what we speak, we can bring every other area into divine order. But you got to have it within and then speak from what is within you. Jesus said, whatever you believe in your heart when you speak it in your heart, a believer, Jesus is supposed to be stamped on your heart. The commandments of God are supposed to be written on your heart by the finger of God. And then you speak from that position. And the mountains leveled. The fig tree dries up. The power of darkness withers. It's time for you to raise up and let Jesus speak through you about some things in your life and to bring divine order to it. Father God, I thank you this morning for your word. Father, I ask more than anything that the image of Jesus would be formed on us again. Father, I'm like the Apostle Paul then in Galatians. He says, I travail as it is a woman in birth until Christ is formed in you again. Father, I lift up and I pray for your people. Father, let a sovereign move of God birth the image of Jesus. Father, over our darkness, let the Spirit of God hover and, Father, speak words of life this morning so that divine order and the image of Jesus can be reconstituted within our spirit man and within our soul, that we can begin functioning out of the reality of who we are in Christ. In him we live, in him we move, in him we have our being this morning. And Father, we thank you and we praise you for it. in Jesus' name.